Amen. Do you have room? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. I know we've been here a lot recently, but we'll get off of this in a day or two here. Luke chapter 2. Pray for Merle Rife. He wasn't here last night, wasn't here this morning. He is fighting an upper respiratory thing. And if some of you folks may not know, but he's with his all the cancer he was supposed to have had and all the stuff, the chemo he's had over the last 20 years, he was supposed to be dead about 21 years ago. But anyway, it's hard on him. He left a message here. I didn't get to this evening, but left a message here this morning, and he really sounds pretty rough. In fact, Linda took him to urgent care yesterday, and I'm sure he appreciates your prayers. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse number 1, and I got another little idea here I want you to see. This is simple, but I think at end of the year and beginning of the next year here, we need to think about this. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. And we get awful involved in things and Christmas, and I enjoy all those things. Of course, now we got grandkids, and that makes it all the more fun. And you know, and last year we had one grandbaby. This year we got we're gonna have three. We have three, and I don't know whether you know. Some of you know this, some of you don't. We got number 4 coming in April, and so we're going right along here. And Brandon and Esther have a little boy coming here in the spring. So we got it. So we're all excited. And so all these things are good. And it's all those things, they're good. It's all good. And you enjoy the family time and all those things. And I know we've heard this before, but I want you to see something. This is not a big revelation, but it's a little thing that I came across that I think would be a blessing. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days." You ever have one of those days? But anyway, they were having one of those days. "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So the whole world was being brought in uproar, like we talked about this morning. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." So the whole world is all messed up. And of course, then he hits us in individuals. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, and to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the end." And we talked about all this morning, all their lives were just totally put in a turmoil, just in a rage of stuff, and life was changing and so fast, and all the issues they had to deal with, and then they had to go to the Bethlehem and make that big trip, and then they had to pay the taxes and all this stuff, and the Lord has done all these things. Verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now you think about it, all the world is being stirred up. I don't know whether you've ever thought about this or not, but all the world's being stirred up. Everybody's having to move around. They finally get him to Bethlehem, and he announces about the coming of Christ outside town somewhere. I don't know, it just seems funny to me. But you realize that all the stuff that we talked about this morning, all the confusion, all the effort, all the disruption of our plans, do you realize that we're not the purpose of Christmas? It's not about us. You know, in fact, we're not here. We get tied up in a lot of different things, and life gets so busy, and this and that. In fact, to tell you the truth, there are some people who just can't stand Christmas. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to tell myself, don't get mad at me here, but this year was actually the first year that I really didn't hate seeing Christmas come. First year in a long time, because Nathan was going to take care of half of the program. He wrote it and directed all that kind of stuff, and I appreciated that. He and Esther kind of picked out the music. All I had to do was direct it. It was pretty good. And but listen, for 20-some years, it's been my job to put the program together. Not just this one, but years ago, I would have a high school program. I had a senior citizens program. We had the adult choir program, and then we were writing the stuff for the Living Cross, the Passion Play. At the same time, we're rehearsing and putting on this program. We're writing it so we can start it in January, and it was just. And we had, of course, the other things going on, all the normal stuff going on. It was just always tough. And this year, I don't know what in the world I was going to do with all the things with the building, because you're out there and checking on things and so forth. And they're asking and picking out colors and all this stuff. And I just thought, oh, my soul, this is going to be terrible. And the fact is, if we're not careful, Christmas becomes a burden because we make it all about us. But it's not all about us. You realize that Christmas was not about Mary and Joseph. It's not really about a baby in a manger. That was just part of the process. It's really not about the angel singing. That was part of the process. Look at verse 8 again with me. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. They were there. Now, God knew they were going to be there, but in some way they happened to be there. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. We're going to erect the first Christmas tree. No. Fear not. We're going to have to teach everybody to sing Jingle Bells. Fear not. You're going to have to find your wife a Christmas gift. No. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Now that word, good tidings, means to carry the gospel. It's the same basic word as the gospel, but it means to preach the gospel. It's behold, tell you why we came, to preach the gospel. And it's a gospel of great joy. Now we talk about the joy of Christmas. We talk about singing the songs of Christmas. We talk about the gifts and the twinkling lights and the family friends and all that's good. It's fine and dandy. But that's not what it's really about. The reason he came was to preach the gospel. Fear not, and behold, I bring you good tidings. I bring you the preaching of the gospel, which is of great joy, which shall be to all people, not a selected few. Let's pray. And just a few thoughts here this evening. The purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas. Father, thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for a wonderful day you've given us. Thank you for time for our friends. Thank you for gifts and the fact that you cared for our folks. And thank you for the joy of and celebration and the time of seeing folks we don't even get to see once or twice a year, and maybe sometimes many years go between. Thank you for the way we can enjoy our time and, again, the way you give us the bounty and then enjoy the food and the celebration and the friendships and the warmth of the season. And, Lord, we thank you for all those things. But I thank you, Lord, that the angels came preaching the gospel. Came announcing the preaching of the gospel. This is the truth. And Lord, I pray just help us to see a little clearer, a little better. Maybe remind us of some things here this evening. And Lord, again, we want your Holy Spirit to make it fresh and sweet and put it on our heart. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Galatians 4:4 says this. You don't need to turn to it. We'll come back in a little while here, but just for a few moments. But it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, when everything was put in place just as God had planned. And that was true because Christ was slain before the foundation of the earth was laid. when it all came together in the fullness of time, the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. I said it on, I think it on Wednesday night. Jesus did not come into being on Christmas night. Mary is not the mother of God. He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, here it says, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's why He came. Not just to be a good teacher, not just to teach us how to give, not so we can have some time to revel and enjoy and give gifts and celebrate and rejoice. And some people have taken it. You know, they say, well, let me say this. This is why we do what we do. It is said that 9 out of 10 Americans say that Christmas is more of a secular holiday than a religious or Christian holiday. However, whether they realize it or not, or whether they want to or not, when they make much out of Christmas, they're still putting all those around them, pointing all those around them to Christ. Every day we live in Western culture, we date our lives at the coming of Jesus Christ. And we can try to push it out, try to make light of it, but the fact is, that's why He came. The whole world, it was the fullness of time, both time past, time future, all came to line on that cross in Calvary. The purpose of Christmas was to bring the gospel, number one. To bring the gospel. That's what it was. Flip the page over. Luke 1:26. Go back a page there. Luke 1:26 says, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jehovah Saves. Jesus. What it means, Jehovah Saves. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Didn't say call the little boy Jesus. It says call his name Jesus. This is who He is. He is the Jesus. He is the Savior. He is God who saves. He shall be great, and He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Chapter 2, we read a little bit ago. Verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, that's all fine and dandy. It's sweet. But the fact is, He came for one of the reasons the angel said, you don't have to be scared. I'm not here to hurt you. Fear not, for what I behold, what I bring you are good tidings. The good news, the fact that you don't have to die. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to go out in this world by yourself. You see, God is going to be with us. He brought God to be with us. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and thou, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now the fact is, that is quoted in Matthew 18. When Gabriel comes to Joseph, it says in verse 22, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken out of the Lord by the prophet, saying," verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which be interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Verse 21 of Matthew 1 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." But that says that all this was going to be done to fulfill the prophecy that God's going to be with us. So the name Jesus itself is not just Savior, it's God, Jehovah, our Savior. The purpose was to bring the good news. Good news. In the book of Isaiah, there's 66 chapters. There's some people who want to take the book of Isaiah and say that there's at least two authors. Some want to break it right at Isaiah 40. Now, there's 66 books in Isaiah. How many books are in the Bible? How many is in the Old Testament? 39. So the 40th book in the Bible starts the New Testament. The 40th chapter of Isaiah starts, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And John said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is revealed. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's the coming of the good news. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to see something here. Jesus knew it was going to be hard. Pastor Brandon mentioned this just a few minutes ago. It didn't matter to Jesus. Jesus knew what the conditions would be when he came, but he came anyway. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son at the right time. It didn't matter how bad it was. Listen, we think, well, I can't do this now. This is not a convenient time. No, fact is, sometimes when it's inconvenient, God gets the most glory. And God, Jesus, came, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's pretty good news. Jesus knew the primitive conditions he was coming to when he left his throne in heaven. He left that throne in heaven to come to an old, dirty, vile, wicked place called earth. Jesus had come to seek and to save because he loves us. And no price was too great. Jesus knew the death that was ahead of him. But he continued on. Jesus had grown up singing the Psalms. He knew Psalm 22. You go back and read it. He knew Psalm 69. Go back and read it. Listen, he knew the prophecies. By the age of 12, he amazed the teachers at the temple for what he knew. He knew Isaiah 53, and the Lord would lay on him. He'd be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace be upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. This was not easy for him. In fact, when it came time to do this, he had to pray for strength. You go back and read in Matthew 26. In Luke 22, it says, he received encouragement. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was fully God, but he was fully man. His nerve endings hurt just like ours hurt. When the whip sliced his body, he felt every stroke. Every laceration that came around his body could have torn him apart. When the nails went through his hands, he felt it. When a crown of thorns were placed on his head and was beat on it, he felt it. And he, you know, it's almost worse for him because he knew what it was going to be like. You ever work hard and have your sweat kind of go into an open wound? Salty sweat. Can you imagine? My guess is when he fell beneath the load, he went into that old sandy dirt. His legs had been lashed with that whip. His back had been lashed. His hands, and the grit and the grime was pushed into those wounds. Don't take this wrong, but I think you know what I'm saying. As a man, Jesus struggled through this just as we would have, maybe more, knowing what it was going to be. But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus could have stopped the process at any time. See, Christmas, for some folks, that's the only time they show up, and they think that's the whole story. Christmas, as nice as it was, he was born in a stable, but in the shadow of a cross. It hung over him his entire life. He could have stopped the process, but he chose to do what he was called to do. Not only could he have stopped the process, he actually, and didn't, but he actually helped it. In John 18:3, he says, "Shall I not drink of this?" This is what I've been brought to. Matthew 26 says it this way. Jesus said to him in the garden, he says, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" When Judas came to betray him. "Then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." And that's when John 18:11 comes in. "Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Goes on and says, "For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently," I mean right now, in a moment, "presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Christmas is about Christ on the cross. He could have stopped the mockery of the trial. He could have stopped them from placing that crown of thorns on his head. He could have stopped them from beating him and saying, "Prophesy, who smote you?" He could have stopped them from pulling out his beard. He could have stopped them from scourging him. He could have stopped them from stripping off his clothes and hanging him between heaven and earth, naked on that cross. He could have stopped them from nailing his hands and his feet to the cross, but he didn't. Because of you. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Jesus knew all these things. But as Hebrews 12 says, "But for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christmas is about bringing the gospel to earth. Let me give you number two. Well, these are not as long. Number two. Christmas is about the proclamation of the gospel. Christmas is about the proclamation of the gospel. Luke 2, verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings I bring you the preaching of the gospel. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let me say two things here. If you've got one of those crazy Bibles, it may say something like, goodwill to men who on whom God's favor rests. It's not there. Unless you got something from the bad manuscript. Nathan and I sat down and studied this out one day. Well, he studied it out. I asked the question. And we looked at it here. And the fact is, it doesn't say the same thing. Bad manuscript. You got a couple little manuscripts that, well, he comes to save those that he likes, on whom his favor rests. That's a lie from hell. He came for all men. All people, for all the earth, ever born, ever will be born, all of them, that's pretty good news. I'll tell you what, in fact, that's very good news. If you came for some of them, that's only so good news. I don't want to make a big deal of this, but this fella, and I'm going to say it tonight because we're all family here. Guy in WDAC, he's a very nice fella, he's a pretty good to listen to. He's not what I call a fiery preacher. But I don't even know what his name is, but it's the Westminster Presbyterian Church over in Lancaster. I don't mean to be mean, but he's Calvinist. And this morning, he was just cranking on that all he could crank on. And I'm not trying to be mean. Well, you name a name, this man. Listen, I don't want you to listen to him. He's going to mess with your theology. He's going to mess with he messes with this theology. I'll tell you, he played with some things and he turned right around and said and talked out both sides of his mouth. Listen, if we do not have free will to choose God or not, then most of this Bible's got to be thrown out. Oh, I know there's a few verses that says, well, God, listen, and I understand that in us dwells no good thing. In our flesh dwells no good thing. But the fact is, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. No one is without excuse. No one has an excuse. No one has an excuse. Creation itself declares his glory, and we ought to come if nothing else, but yet we have our own conscience, and we have the word of God. Go back to Psalm 19 and read that thing. Creation and the word of God. And besides the fact, listen, why would he stand there and say, choose you this day whom you will serve? That's what Joshua said. Hey, listen, God says, listen, I put before you life and death. Choose what you want. It doesn't make any sense. I said this morning he was talking about this, and all of a sudden you're mad. I'm not mad at him. He's probably a very nice guy, but this will mess you up. He's talking about how God's chosen who can get saved and who's not. But they turned right around, and I mentioned this morning. I know, but quoted John 3 and told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that you must be born again." Well, why is he telling Nicodemus that? Nicodemus can't do anything about it if what he's saying is true. He's stuck. Can you imagine me coming to you and saying, you know what, you must be born again, but I don't know if you're going to be, because if you're not, you're going to go to hell. But I know, I guess we'll find out when we get there. That's not good tidings of great joy to all people. That's jerking somebody's chain. There's salvation out there, and you might get it. Now, you just come and give everything you can, to the church, and you stick along, and maybe you... You know what else I found out? All these people who were Calvinistic, they happen to be the chosen ones. My God doesn't do that. Christmas is about the proclamation of the gospel to all the world. So, well, can't we have one time of the year we're not talking about winning souls and bringing folks to Christ? Nope. That's why he came. That's why he came. Now, he was a good teacher. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to love. That's all fine and dandy. But he came, for unto you was born this day in the city of David, a philosopher, a leader, That's what Christmas is all about. Let me give you number three. Christmas is about receiving the gospel. There's an awful lot of folks who like to get religious. And we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We get religious and we can have all this. And listen, be honest with you. I know the way the world thinks. They said, well, you know, they wouldn't even let us have a Christmas tree. They call it a holiday tree. I don't care. Can we talk about Jesus? Not care. Amen. You don't want a Christmas tree? Don't have a Christmas tree. I know Christians who don't have a Christmas tree. You know what? More power to them. You know. Be fully persuaded. You're going to, you know, don't have a man's going to eat, you know, eat meat, and one's not going to eat meat and all that kind of stuff. You're going to have a Christmas tree? Have a Christmas tree. We have a Christmas tree in our house. I remember one year we had a Christmas tree out here in the lobby, and somebody walked out on Christmas Eve, just raked me over the coals because we had a Christmas tree in the lobby. It was just a little tiny thing. I forget what it was in there. It's heathen. Okay. All right. We start bowing down to it, and we're going to have a problem. You know, but we get all religious and we get into all the stuff and we think we've worshiped him, but don't dare talk about that salvation thing. You're messing it all up. Well, then we don't have Christmas. There is no Christmas. We need to receive the gospel. Look at verse 15. Luke 2. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When God gives us good news, we ought to check it out. That's what they were going to do. Let's see this thing. Now watch it. They weren't calling Jesus a thing. If you're down south, they call it a thang. They were going to go see this thang. Well, then what were they talking about when they said, we're going to go see this thing? They were going to see the salvation that God had provided. You see, this thing is the process. It's the program. This is what God has brought. The Son, the Savior. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. This thing, what were they going to go see? They were going to see salvation personified. This is the thing. They didn't call a little baby a thing. Baby comes by, get that thing out of here. They wouldn't do that. That's not what they were doing. They were receiving the message. They were receiving the gospel. He says, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's it. Now this shall be a sign. You shall see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Okay, so we need to go see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger because that's the sign that the thing has come. The gospel has come. That's him. We need to receive. This Christmas is about receiving the gospel. Number four, real quick. Christmas is about being a witness of the gospel. When I say witness, I'm not talking about an onlooker from the outside. I'm talking someone giving testimony before others of what they know firsthand. That's what a witness does. Gives testimony of what he knows personally, firsthand. Verse 17. Let me go back. Verse 15. Came to pass, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds came, said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing, this coming of the gospel, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, Now, I know it's in italics, so they put it in there. But when they had seen the situation, they had seen the sign, they had seen the circumstance, it says they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. All the things was all about the thing, the gospel. Somebody was telling me here this evening that one of their relatives a few years ago went to the Christmas program, went to the Christmas service and morning service. They had the March of the Toys come down the center of the aisle. Well, they went and found another church. Good for them. That's not the thing. Well, this is the thing now. Not here. We're talking about the thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. I bring you the preaching of the gospel. I bring you good tidings. This is the gospel. That's what Christmas is all about. Being a music director for years, I can't tell, I mean hundreds and hundreds of cantatas and music programs that I have listened to and previewed over the last 30 years of being a music director. And I've watched things change. I remember back in the 80s when they started going with the blended services, you know, and the music and just kind of, you know, it's kind of like having, you know, whipped cream, but you can't live off of whipped cream. You know, you need something underneath of it. You can't have ice cream for dinner every night. Sounds fun for a while, but after a while you actually get hungry for a salad. Maybe even with broccoli in it. Honest to goodness, every once in a while I do. I was like, I got to have something that's worth eating. My body is craving. It's empty. I feel bloated and full, and yet I'm empty and starving. Same thing goes with a lot of this junk that the world's bringing in. I can't tell you how. There was one that came. I was waiting for it to come, waiting for it, because it started out with, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, the weather outside. And how they say, and it's going along and makes it sound like it was going to be a Broadway show, you know. And then they did this, and they sang this, and they had a couple singing, oh, and it's finally say goodnight, how I hate. You know, there was all this stuff going on. And they were singing the Winter Snows and, you know, Sleigh Ride and all this. And the philosophy is that, you know, you do that to kind of bring them in to hear, and then you kind of slide the gospel in on them. Well, first of all, I think that's kind of deceitful. We had a Christmas program last night, and it was going to be about Christ. Now, we can have a good time doing it. We can tell a few jokes, a few things like that. It's fine. Sometimes humor's good. I think Jesus even had a sense of humor. There's a few times he kind of said some few things on the sly there, and he had a sense of humor, and God has a sense of humor. There's nothing wrong. He made us like that. We're made in his image. But I remember this one, I was just waiting for it to finally turn around and give the gospel. It never quite got there. They had some kids sing Away in the Manger, and I know, I think Martin Luther wrote that or something, but I'm sorry, it really doesn't say a whole lot. I sing it because we have so few Christmas carols in our hymn book. I get tired of singing the same ones. We need to get some more Christmas carols. Maybe that's a project we can do, put together a new chorus book. That's a good project for us to do, maybe. And there's a lot of songs. How Great Thou Art's not in a hymn book. And some other songs I like to do, and some Christmas carols. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of it, but the fact is, it doesn't say a whole lot. It doesn't say a whole lot. We've forgotten that it's about giving out the good tidings of great joy. The purpose of Christmas is not the tiny child. That's the vehicle. That's the tabernacle he put him in. The purpose of Christmas is not Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Small Business Saturday and our economy being made a profit so we end up in the black again this year. You know, if they couldn't make any money at it, our world wouldn't care a hoot about Christmas. People may fight for Christmas, but they don't want to lose. They might fight against Christmas, but they don't want to lose Xmas because it's too profitable. But Christmas bothers them. You know, we think, well, this is so great because some stores are letting them say Merry Christmas again. You know why? Because they were losing money. It's only a matter of time till another generation has risen. And if we're not careful, the church won't have evangelized that group, given them the good tidings. And so we'd be one step further away from who cares what Christmas, you know. And they'll go back. You know what? There probably will come a day they don't even have to worry about it because no one's going to care. We can forego Christ if it's more profitable or put him back in if that's what the public wants. And if we give the public what it wants, the public will give us what we want. Profit. Christmas is not a celebration of lights. Christmas is not a celebration of music. Christmas is not a celebration of prosperity. Christmas is not about the giving of gifts. Christmas is not a celebration of family. Christmas is not a celebration of food. Christmas is not a celebration about our generosity. Christmas is a celebration of the only Savior who gave all he had and all he was for a bunch of vile sinners. The purpose of Christmas is the gospel. It is the good tidings of great joy. And if you don't have great joy due to the purpose of Christmas, then you do not understand the purpose of Christmas. I don't want to say this, but I don't want to be mean. They say the Christmas, and again, I don't want to be mean. Really. They say that Christmas is a very depressing time for many people around the world. And I understand. Mainly, they're depressed because, man, it's hard. They're covetous. They want what everybody else has. Well, this person has family. They don't have any food, any money. We got family. I want family. These people have a lot of money. I want that, but their family's shot. And we want, and they take all the little individual things that look good, and they make this little perfect picture, and they create, this is what I want. And if I can't have what I have, what I'm going to pout. You say, that's just plain mean. You little kids do that. We call them pouters. Adults do it, and all of a sudden, we've got to come up with some kind of diagnosis. I'm not trying to be mean. You know what? We have good tidings of great joy, which is to all people. And if that's not enough, then you've missed the purpose of Christmas. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The purpose of Christmas for Christ was to give the gift of eternal life. And our purpose is to tell folks of the eternal life provided by Jesus. When I remember all that Christ was willing to endure for me and for you, I can't help but celebrate Christmas with a true purpose in mind. Don't let us allow the secular to steal the sacred from us, from those around us. Listen, the world would love for us to forget the real purpose of Christmas. But I don't be mean about it, but don't allow them to steal it. Christmas is all about our sin and God's salvation. Don't allow the world's artificial joy to rob you of the tidings of great joy, which are all to all people, which we have in Christ. Our purpose for Christmas is the same as any other day. Amen. To lead others to Christ. Christmas is just an extra good opportunity to do it. The purpose of Christmas. Father, thank you again for speaking to us. Lord, I appreciate so much these folks being here. They're here. I think one of the reasons is because they understand the purpose of Christmas. Lord, help us not forget the purpose of Christmas. I'm going to give you a song.